Boys are trying to trip me up with the trivia this morning.
You got it, though.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
Why do you think I'm bringing it up?
Trivia point.
You think I was going to lead the show with, I really duffed a bunch of trivia this morning. That's the boys tripped me up everywhere. I'm all rattled.
Mm-hmm. Really impressed with the all-star question that you got. Really impressed.
Here's the thing, though. You guys are babies, and so you don't, like, it hurts me, but I can remember the year 2000.
Wow.
I know. Imagine.
You can remember it more than I can.
Oh, I cannot remember it at all, Joe.
I was an infant. I was born that year.
Yeah. Joe was born.
Wow.
I went and spent the year 2000 in the States with my uncle. And on the way to that trip, we stayed at a hotel that had a water slide.
Mm, cool. Yeah. Yeah. Buffalo?
No.
Oh.
I just said they were in California.
Oh, sorry.
So I think we stopped in Vancouver or something like that.
Oh, okay.
We stopped in Vancouver, and this was not a water slide like a water park water slide. This is like, you know, that kind of water slide.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
And it said, do not go down head first.
Oh, no.
And you're 2000 me. It's like,
that's what I have to
watch
do.
Watch this.
Bad boy. I'm going Watch down this water slide head first. Turns out that was actually a rule you should follow because my face hit the bottom of the pool.
And, hit the bottom of the pool?
Oh, yeah. And blood everywhere because I basically just like ripped off a ton of skin off the front of my nose. Oh, so gosh. I didn't break my nose. It wasn't like a bleeding nose. It was literally blood from.
You just like grinded it.
Yep. Because you know how the bottom of the pool is, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So they got that grip.
Yeah.
You know?
What would you call it, I guess?
I don't
grip.
Know.
I don't know. Stubble? Stipple?
No, it's not. Stubble.
not stubble. I was looking for stipple. Stipple tape.
Yeah, it's graded.
How did you hit the bottom
of
the
word.
Pool with your face? Like, how fast were you going down?
Fast enough, dude.
Apparently, yeah.
I was a rocket.
How deep was it?
It was a shallow pool. Shallow enough that on a water slide,
you could hit the bottom.
Your face could hit the bottom of the pool. I was not expecting. I shot out of there. Boom. Face off the bottom of the pool. Every single Christmas photo, my parents have been so... Actually, two horrific looks for me that winter. This is an all-time bad look. I'll see if I can dig up a picture and put it on the Instagram story. Not only did I have straight Rudolph face where it was just a pure red nose from no skin being on it for all of the year 2000 photos. But also, Bafo, this was after obviously Nagano where the red hats, the Roots hats. I had one of those and I went down to the States and because I was that age where you're like, I want to make a statement. Oh, I'm here to make a statement about Canada versus the United States. Okay, I'm coming in hot. Oh, what's that? Guy with a Canada hat? Are you Canadian, sir, in the States? How dare you? Coming in. That was a rebellious mind, you know? I had that hat. That hat does not hold up.
You still have the hat?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. It might be in like some
like hidden
bucket somewhere.
Yeah.
In a basement at my mom's house or in a storage locker that my sister has, but I doubt it.
After this Christmas, JD put it in the box.
If I had that hat, yeah. That hat has to, it was fine for the time, but looking back on it, it's one of my, and I've made a lot of poor fashion choices, right? Like I had rocked long hair for a really long time. I didn't treat it properly. Had a lip ring at one point in time.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh my goodness, you did. You still have the home.
Oh my gosh, see? You had a lip ring. Yeah, wow, JD, that's changing my view of you. Yeah. Oh, you're a punk rock guy.
I had to keep taking it out for sports. I was like, damn the man.
Yeah.
Damn the man making me take this out. And that just became too much of a nuisance. It was like senior year of basketball. I was like, there's way too, I can't keep taking this
thing. But you had it until senior year.
Well, I didn't have it for very long.
Interesting.
I don't know, probably 3 months. Show you guys a picture during the break.
Would you ever consider wearing it again?
No.
No? You're out on it now?
What are you talking about? I'm an adult.
If we make some sort of wager in the future, that would be the wager, you know? Like, if you lose the bet, you have to get your lip re-pierced, you know? That's good for future purposes.
Can I tell you guys something?
Yeah, you can do that.
So I had to do it twice, because one time I actually chewed it out.
You chewed it out?
By accident.
That sounds like the most painful thing ever.
I know, this is the dumbest thing ever, but the ball... Oh, that was the lip ring on the side. I was like very high in grade 11. Like, you know the high, like, come back from the woods, well, like, stumble into the basement, eat any food
Thanksgiving
that's in
walk
your,
type.
Yeah, you're like, you stumble into the basement, you're like, everybody be quiet, turn the lights down low. You know, like that. One of those. And I was eating some bread, and it was like a baguette that was left in the kitchen. Look, that's money, by the way. Leftover baguette. Whew. Yeah.
As long as it's not too stale.
Oh, like, yeah, but even still, just a little bit of that crisp, you know? Yeah. Just a little bit of that crisp when I was mowing down on that bread.
Yeah. And did you just eat the thing just straight? Or did you put, like, butter on it and something like that?
You know what? I'm ashamed to admit this because I feel like it's way more the savage thing, but I've never been a huge butter guy. Like, our family was a margarine family, which is pathetic. Mm-hmm. I know.
Oh, really?
I'm deeply ashamed of this. Yeah. My parents, again, 90s, they were like, margarine is healthy. And you went, oh, okay. And it was like a point of pride in your home in the 90s in a weird way. It was like 2000s. Yeah.
I'm going to ask my parents.
Of like, we are not a butter family. We would never put that into our bodies. We would just put margarine. It's healthy. And you get like the 50% less fat margarine too. It's like, like a white container. It's trash.
I really want to put, I've never been a butter guy on a t-shirt.
No,
for
I know. But now, like now, obviously, butter is one of life's great delights. 100%. I'm just saying that when I was younger, I never even thought to put the butter on the bread.
Are you normal and eat salted butter? Or are you a psycho and do unsalted?
All right. We're way too off track here. Yeah, who isn't a salted butter person?
Okay, exactly.
Like, what's the point?
What are you doing
if you're not? I don't even understand the question, to be honest. what's the point? You're already in the butter. That's the stupidest thing. If you're going with things like that, stop trying to. Same with sour cream. People are like, I want the 50% fat. It's like, okay, if you're to eat, you should not be eating sour cream every day. Okay, this isn't my. You know, Latvian grandmother who's like sour cream on everything.
Yeah.
You know, like sour cream. You can't be doing that. If you're doing that, then I get it. 50% less sour cream. But if you're just a normal human being who's not crushing, you know, like copious amounts of butter and sour cream in these things every single day, just enjoy the real deal, you know? Like, don't try to jazz it up.
Once I was trying to go vegan, like a few Januaries ago, and so I got like coconut vegan cream cheese.
Boy, how was that?
It was not good.
Yeah, what a shocker.
Sounds like hell.
Dude, everybody thinks, guess what? I had that phase too, again, when I was in grade 11 with the lip ring, getting real punk rock.
Yeah.
No. The cattle industry, I was all about it.
Oh, yeah.
Still not really too stoked on a lot of how we get our food.
Yeah, yeah.
But everybody thinks that's a great idea until like week two. Week two and you're like, wait.
Is it all this food like this?
Yeah, yeah.
It's all worse?
I need a plate of bacon.
There's not a single thing that tastes better?
Yeah, yeah.
And now my sister's a vegan, and she cooked, and shout out to vegans, all right? Like, your choice.
Respect.
It's hard life for you to do it. It's admirable in a lot of ways. I think it's a little much when you're trying to push it on everybody, and just like, keep it to yourself.
Do your thing over
but,
there.
Yeah, keep it to yourself, which you can't do. That's part of being a vegan is you got to tell everybody about it.
Yeah.
But my sister made a Christmas. She ruined Christmas like two or three Christmases ago. Her and her roommate came over and they went, it's going to be just as good. And I sat there furious.
Yeah.
I was like, this is not as good as Christmas dinner. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You owe me a real Christmas dinner tomorrow. In fact, I want to now because of this experience. Anyway, and there are actually some good vegan restaurants in Toronto. There's all kinds of good stuff. Anyway, I was going to talk to you guys about new Twitter, but that's too old. Okay, so this is probably a bit of an overreaction, and we've got Jason Lacanfora coming up in a minute, so I'm going to keep this one tight. Maybe I'll do it a little bit later. We got Anthony Stewart on the show, and he's coming on. He's getting inducted, or honored. I don't think this is inducted. He's getting honored by his junior team, Kingston Frontenacs. He's going down there today. I think he's going to be in the car. He'll give us a call. Hopefully he's not. Hopefully it's pretty good. Might be bad. I might be like, good for you, bye. The phone is crap. No way. But I do wonder how this Matthews things go over because this, I'm a little suspicious, okay? I'm a little suspicious. No, I don't think he's hurt. Like, I think he's a little banged up. And then they went, and then he woke up this morning sick. Oh, he's like Joe at the beginning of the show. Like, Joe took like 4 sick days in his first 2 weeks of the show. Didn't even call in sick one day. Just didn't show up. And then said, oh, I thought Pete would say like that.
No, it's because I told
I don't want to hear it, Joe. I don't want to hear it.
I probably should have said. I probably should have said
hear
something.
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it at all. Especially from you, Pete, like apologizing for him. Like, you don't need to come to his. You think just because your dad's a lawyer that you get to be his lawyer? Like, that's how this works?
Joe did nothing wrong.
No. Quiet. I am curious if this does open the door a little bit more for accepting load management in a way for players on good teams. Like, this is not an NHL thing at all. You play the games if you're healthy. It's a league that really prioritizes Ironman streaks, right? Man, he's played under Marleau.
Yep.
So I'm sure that there is something. I just, the way that everyone's talking about it, it sure seems like it's extremely minor. And then, yeah, I get to be a little suspicious when he quote-unquote wakes up sick and they're going like, oh, we don't know if he's going to play in Boston. If he doesn't play in Boston on Saturday, then I'll recant. And I'll say, you know what, I was wrong. Maybe he actually did have a little bit of a bug. Maybe they did need to rest him. If he plays the Bruins on Saturday, I think it was pretty clear this was load management. And it's in a sport that really doesn't do that and actually hates even having those words connected to one another.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see. But that's what I think it is. And I do wonder if a team like the Leafs is going to be at the forefront of this a little bit in terms of the way they do it. It's not like they haven't rested veterans before, right, on back-to-backs and put guys – but that's like commonplace. I'm talking about a young star in his prime who's in trying to win a Selke this year being put in that kind of place. Mm-hmm. So my brother is a huge Ravens fan, right?
Yeah.
He's a huge Ravens fan. We went down to Baltimore last year. We watched two Ravens games actually in a row for his birthday.
Oh, wow.
We went down. We watched the Vikings games. Fun. Went to overtime. Great game.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went down to Miami.
Oh, wow.
And I've been giving it to him nonstop, right? Because I was like, little did you know you were watching Lamar in his future home. Like, we didn't know it at the time. Yeah. We didn't know that on that, I think it was a Thursday night football game. Yeah, it was a Thursday night football game. We were down there. They lost. He was sour. But I've just been, you know, relentless, right? With this, you have to be. It's your brother. And we went to a Seahawks-Ravens game in Seattle, and the Ravens beat my Seahawks, and it's one of, like, Lamar's most famous games.
I was a Seahawks fan, and he's a
Ravens. I grew up out west, and he grew up during, he was a linebacker in high school.
Oh, okay,
who, like, just started loving Ray Lewis. Anyway, so most of this has been pretty unstantiated. Why can't I say that word?
Unstantiated?
No, that's not right.
Sounded fun to me, Jason.
Yeah, thanks. Let's keep it moving. Let's keep it moving. Jason Lacken, unsubstantiated. There we go. Jason Lacken was online. He's like, who did I agree to do the show with? He's like, I'm not doing this show. Like, I'm better than this. I work for the Washington Post. And then I read Jason's article, and obviously I'm just clipping it, sending it to my brother, like, nonstop, like, different pieces from it. I really enjoyed that. Jason Lacanfora, Baltimore native, Washington Post, Sportsline. Article in the Post right now on Lamar Jackson. Jason, good morning, man.
Good morning. Hope everybody's well.
I am well. I got a no-pressure playoff game this weekend. The slate isn't great, but, yeah, we'll see.
No.
But it's not great. Like, everybody's picking the Giants because it's, like, the only underdog that you can reasonably pick, and it's not even really that big of an underdog, but maybe we'll hit on that in a sec. But we got to start with Lamar. So he's still not practicing. He tweets about the injury finally yesterday, breaks his silence. He says that the PCL strain is somewhere between a 2 and a 3, which I like the medical staff being like, it's a 2, but like some people might even call it a 3. He's like, wow, I'll put that in the tweet. Swollen, unstable. Huntley looks like the starter. Can we just say, like, Lamar's not playing. Like, he's not going to play
this
game.
No, he's not playing.
Yeah,
he's not playing. And he wouldn't be playing the following week. I mean, highly unlikely if they win this game that he's able to turn it around after now going on that would be missing, you know, over 6 weeks, and think he's just going to practice a little bit on a Tuesday, practice a little bit on a Wednesday, and away we go. You know, I just look, this relationship is over. They have anointed their new face of the franchise. It's Roquan Smith. Roquan Smith was here 2 months, got his bag. Everything Chicago wouldn't give him, they gave him. Lamar Jackson, that's not going to be the outcome here. That's been clear for quite some time, and it's more evident than ever now. And this will get messy, whether it gets messy before he's traded or right after he's traded. You know, there's a lot of people who will start whispering a lot of things and telling stories that they've been keeping inside. But players of this magnitude don't go this far in their career without getting paid and it not getting messy. It's just the reality. You know, they win basically 75% of their games with him. They win basically 25% of their games without him. I mean, that's how good he is. They score over 28 points a game with him. They score under 20 points a game for his career without him. But the owner didn't want to pay him at various points in times when he could have got him much cheaper. and he's certainly not going to want to pay him now, and they're basically out of time. So he'll be tagged, and he'll be traded.
Didn't they offer him something, though? Like, what wasn't there some kind of discussion about what he would be worth during the season?
Yeah, I mean, look, they've been going at this since before Josh Allen got his extension. These guys are in the same draft class, and that was the sweet spot to get it done. But they wouldn't pay him what Josh Allen got then, not even particularly close. And then the market has exploded since then. And, you know, that's what happens when you wait. When you wait, especially with a quarterback, who won an MVP for you and turned your franchise around at age 22, the longer you wait, the more other things happen in the league. And you know, it should have been obvious to them. It was obvious to everybody else that, you know, on the other side of this COVID thing, revenues would start going bonkers again, the cap would start going bonkers again, and that there'd be a lot of people desperate to get quarterbacks. And we've seen, you know, what Russell Wilson got, what Derek Carr got. I mean, and those guys failed this year. You know, what Aaron Rodgers got, he failed this year. You know, you just go around the league, and then, you know, Kyler Murray, like, give me a break. And then the Deshaun Watson thing, you know, that was just the contract that sent everything into overdrive, and it created a new stratosphere. And of course, Lamar Jackson's going to look at that and say, well, that's what the tier I want to be in. And the owner here in Baltimore, Steve Bisciotti, who hasn't really spoken in 5 years, decided to pop his head out of an owner's meeting and say, oh, no, you don't. You're not worth that. We don't do that kind of thing around here, especially not for you. Maybe I'll think about it if you win me a Super Bowl, but I don't think Lamar thinks he's even worthy of that money. So that's it. I mean, that was the end. And now the injury just puts another exclamation point on it. But no, I don't think he'll ever play another game for the Ravens. I think, sadly, the Lamar Jackson era in this town will end with him, you know, being helped up a staircase, you know, down a hallway to get his knee looked at after being sacked in the pocket. Okay. And we'll see what they do with the draft picks, and we'll see, you know, if it's Tannehill or Carr, whoever the placeholder is. And they're going to back to the future. They're trying to win 17-16 every week. They're playing 1983 football in 2023. That's what they believe in. That's who they give their money to. We make our inside linebacker the highest paid guy in the history of the league at his position, not the quarterback, not the receiver.
Yeah. I got to tell you, you saying it that way. And I should remind our, you know, listeners that as a Seahawks fan, it hurt me when you were like, the Russell Wilson thing is done. And I was like, nah, what does he know? And then it was, I think you reported that. And then like a couple of days later, he was doing the hit on national television where he was like, I don't know what's going on with Seattle. I went, oh my God, Jason knew. He was right. I'm sorry, Jason. I got to tell you, there's a part of me now that's devastated. Like, I love my brother. I like teasing him, but Lamar means so much to the Ravens. Like, you go to a game there, and it's insane. Like, people aren't wearing, like, multiple. Actually, there's a shocking amount of Justin Tucker jerseys.
Yeah.
But it is, like, it's Lamar's city. Like, he's the identity of that team in so many different ways.
Yes.
Do you not?
Not anymore, though. It's Roquan Smith. I'm just, they told you that. They did. The timing of that is not. Just folly. Like, everything happens for a reason. Like, it's Roquan Smith town now, baby.
So you don't think there's any chance of reconciliation? Like, there's a, we're going to spend the money, Lamar? Like, what are they offering him? Like, if he did want to come back, what kind of offer is he looking at? Is it still less than Watson? Like, they're still trying to play hardball with him? Like, what is the latest?
They're not talking? I mean, they haven't talked since training camp. I mean, and I don't think they're ever going to talk again. Like, they're not close. They're not going to get close. There's a philosophical difference between how he views himself and how this owner views him, and nothing that happened this year has changed it for the better, only for the worse. So, yeah, I don't think it's even a I mean, this might sound shocking, but I don't even think that's the conversation. Like, I think we're past that. You know, the owner told you last spring, he's going to get, like, this is headed to a franchise tag. Like, so, again, when you say that, like, you're sending a very explicit message to your fan base, to your locker room, and to that young man. And here's the reality of Lamar Jackson. He hasn't made one penny above what a collective bargaining agreement that was negotiated when he was in probably elementary school.
Yeah.
Like, he hasn't made one penny above that. Like, no one's thrown any extra bonuses at him. Like, you can give a player on his fifth-year option different bonuses. Even a guy on a franchise tag, it doesn't mean that's all you have to pay him. You could find ways to sweeten the pot if you really want him. They don't really want him at the price it's going to take to keep him. If he came in and did some BS deal below Kyler Murray, yeah, we'll do that. But that's no, that's not that. He's not that. So I don't even think that's, like, relevant anymore, as crazy as that may sound. Like, I think that ship has sailed. It's going to be exactly what the billionaire who doesn't want to spend his money told you it was going to be.
That's so sad.
He's not worthy of it. He's not good enough. Maybe if he wins me a Super Bowl, but we all really know we're going to tag him next year. And it's going to be a tag with the intent of a trade, not a tag with the intent of a long-term deal. I think they're done going through those machinations.
That's devastating because... Yeah, all I could think of with this weekend, right, when I just mentioned it to you, that the slate is weak. This is not a good slate. I'm sorry. I'm kind of excited to watch the Giants play to see if Dable, like, I just like Dable, and I think we all do, and we're kind of rooting for him. But ultimately, like, that's a Danny Dimes, Kirk Cousins game, right? There's a lot of games with spreads of 9 or more. We've seen pretty much the Bucks and Cowboys this season. Like, I don't know if anybody's really talking themselves into them being contenders or them being exciting. And one of the thoughts I had yesterday was, boy, it really sucks we're not getting Burrow Lamar. Like, how fun would that be? That would be so far and away the highlight of the weekend and something that's supposed to be in this division for a long time. And Burrow's sort of taken over as the swagger guy because Lamar hasn't been around, like, the swagger of the division. But I can still remember, right, like, the believe that, like, Big Trust. That was it. The Big Trust season where, you know, it was Lamar at the podium and Lamar with the shades. And I just, yeah, that, like, he is Baltimore. It's hard for me to even envision him somewhere else, even though I have been sending my brother photoshopped images of him in different uniforms for, like, 2 weeks. But who forks up the asking price to get him is the question. Because, like, Miami, the Dolphins got to be devastated now all of a sudden that, like, they got hit with that tampering thing that cost them the draft pick. They've used up all the draft capital that they got and all the deals that they've done. Because they'd be the obvious place, Lamar being from there and wanting to go home. Feels like a weird one for the Bucks to pivot from Brady to him, like, if we're just sticking with the Florida thing. I guess, you know, Seattle has a couple of picks, but that doesn't feel very Pete Carroll. Who do you think
they want to pay a quarterback. I think they just went through all that stuff with Russell. I don't think they're in the mood to negotiate a record contract with a quarterback. No, but there's a massive look there. What team in the NFC South, for starters, couldn't use him? Like, you don't think Atlanta would want Mike Vick 2.0? David Tepper, who spent at the time a record price for the Panthers, like, he's desperate as hell for a quarterback. He had a bunch of quarterbacks on the franchise tag this year, or on fifth-year options, who couldn't play. You know what I mean? Mayfield and Darnold. Like, you know, you mentioned Tampa. Do they want to try to keep their window open? New Orleans, him down there on that fast track, you know, they've got the makings of a defense. More than half the league would at least want to have a conversation about this. Like, Woody Johnson with the Jets, he's out there saying, I'm willing to do whatever I can to get a real quarterback. I mean, just go around the league. I mean, Houston, the Raiders, you can make the case in a lot of places. I'm sure the Ravens are going to want to trade him to the NFC. I think that would clearly be, their druthers. I think there'll be more than, all those teams. Remember, like, Cleveland didn't get Deshaun Watson because nobody else wanted him. Cleveland got Deshaun Watson because they kept throwing more money at him than five other owners would, who were really deep in it. So none of those teams have necessarily, like, again, the Atlantas, the Carolinas, they haven't solved the riddle. Desmond Ritter's played okay, but, like, don't think they would upgrade. I mean, like, they, so...
You're not passing on Lamar for Desmond Ritter. I'm sorry.
Again, you're going to have guys like Carr and Tannehill. Like, it's there's going to be other guys who are available in trade, probably Justin Fields. So I see this being rectified sooner rather than later. I don't think the Ravens want this hanging over their offseason. I think they're done. I think they're out of the Lamar Jackson business and, the talking about his future and talking about his injuries. I think the owner and the team president and the GM are ready to move on. And I don't think they'll mess around because you want to do this when all, you know, as many teams as possible still need quarterbacks. So, I think if their season ends Sunday night, I think, you know, Monday morning, job number one is let's make the best Lamar Jackson trade we can possibly make.
I can't believe that there will be an owner that's going to be less popular in that area than Dan Snyder. Like, that's going to go down the second this trade happens, and especially if you, like you say, it's going to play out where we end up getting a lot of leaked information about who.
Oh, it'll be messy. It'll be super messy.
Yeah, of course, and it has to be, right? Because Lamar, Lamar cares about the area, and he's going to be pretty adamant, I would guess, in terms of protecting why he's leaving to make sure that he's not vilified. Like, there's a no-brainer. Like, every tweet
The tweet he put out last night is evidence of what's going to happen, where, you know what I mean? They're not really talking about his injury. They're leaking fake information to their buddies in the national media about how insignificant it is, and it's only a week, or he's going to be back next week, Yeah, that's the path we're headed down.
Oof. Okay, so the follow-up here is the Russell Wilson trade ended up being, like, it right now it's a disaster for Denver. I don't know. Yes. Some people think it's going to be maybe better if they get a right coach. I don't know. Russ showed at least a little bit of something in the last couple weeks, though.
Yeah, when they let that kid on the staff call plays instead of Kubiak.
Yeah.
Instead of Quick Kubiak, it actually looked pretty interesting the last couple of games.
Right, and I don't know how, apparently Deshaun Watson wants to have a heart-to-heart with Kevin Stefanski. He wants to sit down about the future because, again, now he's in complete control of it, right? Yeah, but that's it. That the two big trades that happened this past offseason with quarterbacks turned out to be disasters, and Lamar is coming off of an injury. I do wonder if, you know, there would be any trepidation by some owners, by some front offices, like that they don't want to be the next team that overpays for a quarterback and has it come back to haunt them. Do you think there's any of that, or this is just still a league where you go, you can get a star quarterback, someone's going to overpay?
Yeah, I mean, just look, this is not a good quarterback draft. There'll be kids who go in the first round. They all have significant warts. No one I know and trust in this league who's watched them closely feels like they immediately change your fortunes. You also have upwards of 19 quarterbacks who stayed in the draft. NIL has changed things. There's not that middle class. A lot of these kids would rather go transfer one more time, and I'll be fine on NILs one more time, and I'll do that and try to up my stock rather than come out now and be taken in the fifth round or the fourth round or whatever. All this quarterback movement the last couple years, in essence, obviously means some guys aren't going to be available. The free agent class, you're talking about, you know, Geno Smith, you know, Taylor Heineke, Mike Effin White, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo. It's not a whole lot there, and even some of those guys, you know, are dealing with injuries. You know, Tom Brady's going to pick his spot. There's only one or two places he'd really go. Like, not any team can get Tom Brady. But so, yeah, I think, you know, again, do you want Derek Carr? Derek Carr's making $40 million a year. You know what I mean? Ryan Tannehill's making significant money. Like, do you want them around 35 or 40, or do you just give Lamar 50? He's only 26 years old.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he just turned 26. So it only takes one, man. It only takes one. And there's always coordinators in this league who, I can fix him. I can fix him. I can do it. I can do it. I mean, who's got more Claytomold than Lamar Jackson? Like,
Well, especially since we've never seen him with receivers. Like, we've never seen him in an offense that's encouraged him passing the ball. Like, I think this has been Dan Orlovsky's hobby horse for a while, where he loses his mind and he's just like, hey, everyone talks about him not being a passer. Everyone loves to criticize his game. It's like, let's see him actually in offense that allows him to show off what he can actually do. You can obviously see the reasons to go out and get Lamar. If I'm a Falcons fan, I'm praying for this, or every team in the NFC South, I'm praying for this. All those other options that you outlined, like, they're just so far, they're not even close. The idea that, I think it's kind of funny, actually, that if you're a Dolphins fan, there was no chance, really, of you making the Lamar move. But, yeah, that all of a sudden, the idea of getting Brady and not Lamar Jackson, like, having an offseason where Brady is, like, a huge disappointment consolation prize is kind of funny.
Yeah. Well, it would not shock me if they came away with one of those two. It would not.
Yeah. You think that Miami would still have a shot to get Lamar?
Yeah. I mean, it'd be tough. They lost their first this year because the tampering with Brady. But they'll trade future draft picks. I mean, you know, if you're the Ravens and you could get Waddle and get, like, you know, two ones and some future twos and stuff like that. Like,
there's ways.
You know, it could it could work.
Man, what do you think ends up happening with Brady?
I mean, I think there, again, there's only a few spots that really are going to be a fit. He's got to want you, you know, it's not just about you wanting him. You know, I think certainly Miami, you know, San Francisco, you know, does Purdy lay an egg this weekend, you know, and do they think that he's still a developmental guy, but we bring in Brady and then maybe we trade Lance. Like, I do think that's a possibility. I think Vegas, I know it wasn't the best of relationship. I mean, it wasn't bad between him and Josh McDaniels when he left, but it wasn't like they were at their high point. But he could plug and play. I mean, that, you know, and they've got pieces on offense. Defensively, obviously, they need some work. I think it's a small, you know, it's a small handful that really makes sense. If Sean Payton ended up somewhere else and that team needed a quarterback, I mean, those guys have the same agent. So,
well, the guy you didn't mention in all this was Rodgers, right, in this carousel? It was a lot of names, but you didn't say him. You think he stays? Or he just retires?
No, I don't think he walks away from the $60 million. I think now he and that's going to be another difficult trade to execute. And they're not going to get much of anything for him, but I think that one's over. They need to look at Jordan Love. It's time. They have, you know, they're going to pick up Jordan Love's option, fifth-year option. How could you not? Even though you haven't seen him, like, how you moved up to draft him. You're going to, you know what I mean? You're not going to protect his rights. I would think they would. Regardless, he's got to play next year. They've got to start looking at that. They're not a player or two away from the Super Bowl. And Aaron Rodgers is not going to flip a switch and get better. Like, this is, it's Aaron Rodgers now looks like Ben Roethlisberger 2-3 years ago. Like and the decline will be significant because he's not mobile anymore. So, yeah, I don't think it's a fit. He's going to have to work a little bit on the contract. He's going to want to call. He's going to be able to call a shot where he goes because he could always just say, "Well, I'll just retire," and it'll be tricky. And I actually have a piece coming out this weekend on the Washington Post about this. I've talked to some general managers and personnel executives and agents about this. I think he wants one more bite at the apple, but somewhere else.
I just want him to do the Favre thing and end up with the Jets and have them have the exact same career. And then he just ends up like trying
Wouldn't
to sign
his,
like, the Vikings at the very, like when Kirk Cousins is done. And just like the path is there, Aaron. You can do the exact same thing. The path is there. Are there any coaches on the hot seat this weekend? You mentioned the Sean Payton thing, Louvin over things. Who's on the hot seat?
Mike McCarthy, Brandon Staley, and McDaniel. Yeah. I think.
Really?
Again, if Stephen Ross can get Sean Payton, he's going to get Sean Payton. Like, now, he might not be able to. But, yeah.
Boy.
Yeah, I would not be surprised at all if one or more of them were not in their current position by early next week.
Last one. How'd we end up with Atlanta as the host city for the
I don't really know. I didn't really I'm just really hoping that doesn't come to pass.
Same.
But I didn't ask a lot of questions. I didn't really make any calls on that. Like, it didn't really light my fire. But I mean, we obviously, you know, Indianapolis would have been probably close to equidistant between those two teams for their fan bases, but the building wasn't available. Hotels weren't available. They had some big volleyball thing going on there. I think there was also a conflict in Detroit. It's clear they wanted to put this in a dome, so there's not that many options.
Yeah. Jason, you're the man. Thanks so much for making time today. Sorry to the city of Baltimore, because that sucks.
Hey. It's good for my radio show.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
Funny to talk about.
Yeah, you're going to get crushed.
All right, buddy.
See you, pal. Jason Lackenfora, Washington Post, Sportsline. His article's up on Lamar about the trade. And, like, I was reading it and wasn't that spicy. But, boy, I got to tell you, I feel bad. Like, I've been teasing my brother, but that, because part of me went, like, okay, what are the actual odds Lamar leaves? Mm-hmm. I thought maybe 10%.
You know, really?
I never really thought it was that high. Dude, what organizations walk away from Lamar Jackson's when they're 26?
Yeah. I know.
Like, that doesn't happen.
It's bizarre.
But the contract problem was there throughout the season, you know?
Yeah, but the only way that this stuff happens, if it's like your boy, Deshaun, where he's criminal.
Your boy, Pete.
Yeah, your number one star of the Cleveland Browns, who Dazen said stinks, and I agree. I don't know. Watson looks like he's completely lost the magic.
It may go down as like one of the worst of all time.
Russell Wilson and Deshaun are fighting for the worst. Right?
Well, the thing about Russ, though, is like, I don't know. Yeah, so far it's pretty bad.
Watson
thing has more time. It's just like the money that he got. You got to factor in that getting Watson and the PR hit that organization took, and like all the fans that showed up with the idiotic signs with like, I get not just stopping being a fan because of Watson. Like, I don't judge that at all. I think, like, you're a fan, you're a fan. It's not your fault. Like, you know, if you want to turn your back on an organization, like, I'm whatever. But I don't blame people that just decided they were like, I'm a lifelong Cleveland Browns fan. Like, I still, I care about the Browns. It's not, like, other teams have had, and like a lot of different sports, guys who,
are not great people.
No, exactly.
Are not great people.
And that goes from like executives and right. Like, are you Dallas Mavericks fan? Like
your Suns fan?
Yeah, exactly, man. Like, so.
But Lamar Jackson, in my mind, has been like the perfect franchise quarterback his entire career.
Oh, dude.
Like, you couldn't
he's
ask
the
for
coolest guy in the NFL. Like, everyone's freaking out about Burrow and how, and I love Burrow. That's the thing. That was the, could have been the battle of the two coolest quarterbacks in the NFL. By
in
like
the same
a,
division.
Yeah. By a mile, by a mile. Like, and. It's just him and the purple, dude.
Yep.
That's exactly. The purple and black with the gold.
No,
just,
I know. The gold
so,
eight.
It just makes so much sense, you know?
He has the purple emoji, like the devil face.
No, I know.
Face.
The devil,
like,
purple emoji,
that,
the
like,
purple
oh,
heart.
So good. Yeah, big trust. Yeah.
No, big trust. Man, I got to tell you, I can't even send this to my brother.
Yeah.
I feel horrific.
Oh, this would be a dagger.
No,
you can't do it.
This is bad. This is really bad.
If I was a Ravens fan, I'd be like crying on the floor.
No,
right
like
now.
I gotta like I'm not even kidding. My brother loves Lamar so much that I have to like tread lightly with this now. Like this actually becomes like, you know, I never understand how families break up, you know? Like there's these families that have just real hate.
Yeah.
And it'll be like a brother doesn't talk to a sister and you go, how? And it's usually over dividing a will.
Yeah.
It's always about money and who got what and blah, blah, blah. Almost always. Sometimes it's weirder stuff, but whatever. This is literally that. People could be, don't you have a brother? And he goes,
we're estranged.
I used to.
Yeah. Like Batman, Ravens did based on Lamar.
Because I'm telling you, I went through this with Russell Wilson a year ago.
Right.
Like, you lose your quarterback in sports, and it's a divorce. It's a heartbreak. It literally felt, when the Seahawks traded Russell Wilson, it was a breakup for me. Like, that's the way I felt. And I've seen other free agents go, and I'm a grown-ass man. Like, that doesn't move me that way anymore. Like, Kyle Lowry left, and I went, hey, man, thanks for the championship. Like, that was great. Yeah. And I guess it's a different phase of his career because he's at the end, and if Russ had left and, you know, year whatever.
Yeah.
Like, but it's just like, you don't want to see, an Instagram post of your ex with somebody. And that's the thing, Russ with Denver, and had they been winning games, like,
if they were playing well.
Man, I was invested in the Seahawks winning that trade. I was devastated by it. I hated it. Mm-hmm. When Russell Wilson was going around to Ailish's old school, going, Broncos country, let's ride. It was a dagger in my heart. It hurt. It hurt every day.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, though. Russell Wilson was never cool. Like, when you're watching his corniness, when you're watching his corniness, you got to be like, yeah.
That's our guy.
He stinks. He is corny. He is corny.
Hey.
You know?
He's corny, but he's our corny.
And like, and Russ was making noise for a little while, you know, publicly about the O-line stuff and about the offense. And he was partially to blame, and he never really seemed to own some of that. Lamar has been quiet in the media.
Mm-hmm.
He's been nothing but a dutiful Raven. Mm-hmm. He's never gone and said, go get me receivers. It was hilarious, man. Ravens fans, it's kind of on you. Nah, I don't want to do that. So it's too mean. I was going to say, though, all these Ravens fans that kept being like, Bateman, oh, man, you can't wait till you see Bateman play his four games a year. Boy, the hurt, skinny guy who's always hurt. You won't believe what you see with Bateman. J.K. Dobbins, be fine. Man, these two guys, look at J.K. Dobbins' hype return video.
Mm-hmm.
They've had Mark Andrews.
Yeah.
That's who they've had for Lamar.
Yeah. Or Lamar is like old best friend or best friend, like Marquise Brown, and then they traded him.
Yeah.
You know? And
but,
it's like, what's up with that?
Well, the Hollywood thing, I was always, this was the wrong. He was a good.
That was a close connect, though.
Yeah, but it was kind of funny because they just started to figure out, oh, wait, we don't just have to throw this guy nine routes. We can give him little bubble screens and smoke screens, and all of a sudden it opens up a completely different dynamic of their playbook. And then they traded him. Yeah. And it's one thing, like, you trade him, but you can't have Lamar with Devin Duvernay.
No, no.
And four games of Bateman and me trying to talk myself into Isaiah Likely becoming, you know, the next Travis Kelce.
I thought you were right, JD. There was that one game where you bet on Likely, and it was like,
oh. I know.
Well, I still he was on a hot streak. He had like a couple touchdowns in a row.
Anyway, this isn't an Isaiah Likely conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
This is,
true.
This is about truly the coolest quarterback, the 1A, the 1B, however you want to put it, with Joe Burrow in the NFL, in his prime.
Yeah.
Like, look how different the Ravens' offense is. I don't know if they scored a touchdown since he's been out. I have honestly no idea. Because the games I've been watching, they have not scored touchdowns.
In the last month, they are second worst in the NFL for touchdowns. Yeah. Only the New York Jets have scored less.
So I joke, this is the most obvious take ever, but this is why ownership matters so much.
Yeah, no,
this is ownership right away. You could have paid Lamar. It was right there for you. And you didn't pay Lamar. One of the only quarterbacks in the NFL that matters.
Should have paid him when Josh Allen got paid.
Someone you've built your team around, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like at least relied on to be the offense.
I'll tell you right now, they're gonna end up kind of cleaning house a little bit here. That's gonna go down. Damn. Yeah.
Wow. Where do you think he's gonna go? If you had to guess right now.
Well, I would imagine that Miami just tries to move heaven and earth to try to make that work. And if you think about it, okay, so I hear what Jason's saying about Sean Payton, but the Dolphins thing has always felt, the Dolphins have obviously been wanting a quarterback. I don't think that their owner loves Tua.
No.
And now Tua's had all these injuries. Like Lamar is like, he's a Florida guy. Like him, Kodak Black, like that connection with Florida is like legit. He is like, again, I went to that game and you go down there and there were a lot of people rocking Lamar stuff.
Yeah.
And Lamar was loved. He got hurt in that game, which sucked. But yeah, I would imagine that if you are a Florida team, if you're the Bucs or you're the Dolphins, you're going to do everything you can. But the reason why I like the Dolphins one a little bit more is simply because it's like you have McDaniel, who if you don't move off of, one of the best run concept guys in the NFL, pairing him with Tyreek Hill in that offense. An improving offensive line, a team that's got some stars who are banged up this weekend. I think they're going to get smoked by the Bills. Yeah. But I think McDaniel is good. He's taking a lot of heat, and I think he's too much with the...
Sometimes, yeah, with the
I just
the
think it's a little, he's a bit too much of a tryhard. He'll figure that out, I think. People thought it was like fun and cool, and then, you know, when you're losing 6 weeks in a row or whatever, and he's doing it and
completely missing the playoffs.
Yeah, hey,
it's like let's not do that.
Yeah,
let's
no more
just
of this.
Win games.
He had a joke at the podium the other day that was so horrific. They asked him about someone they brought in the organization that was named Mike. I think it was a quarterback, and he went, "I just like his name." No one laughed. I went, "Scott, it's wearing thin." But I think it would if they could team up McDaniel, Lamar, Tyreek. And the running game that they had this year with Jeff Wilson Jr. and Raheem Mostert, which looked pretty decent.
Yeah.
It's pretty sexy.
So
him in those uniforms, like
throwbacks, especially.
The uniform I can picture him in is that.
Yeah.
You know, like it's the one where, the teal or the Dolphins white uniform.
Yeah.
The orange stripes, like that's pretty hot.
Yeah.
Lamar Miami Knights is like Lamar versus Josh Allen in the division every year. Yeah.
Give it to me.
I can see. If I was the Dolphins, I'd be trying to do whatever it's possible. The problem is if you're the Ravens, like,
AFC.
I don't know how you take, AFC, first of all, but I also don't know how you don't get a first round pick this year. Like how you're we'll take them all in the future. Yeah. You're going, huh? We need to have something right now. And I guess Jaylen Waddle was what lacking for a pitch, but I don't know. That seems pretty light.
So if Lamar ends up in Miami, then is it safe to say Brady's probably primary landing spot would be Vegas?
Yeah.
I think
again, if the Brock Purdy lays an egg, as Jason said,
San Francisco.
Just reporting what Jason said, Brock Purdy, potential egg laying.
I can see you're a big fan of that.
Yeah, nickname redacted Brock.
Yeah. I'd like to see Lamar on the Atlanta Falcons. Yeah.
I would not.
No,
and
not
I think
me.
That would be like kind of cool. because obviously Michael Vick and...
It would be cool from like the standpoint of they've got the coach who would know what to do with him. Like, that's the thing. I want to see if Lamar gets traded, I'd like to see a couple things. One, a market that would be cool for him for sure. Like, I think that would be neat. But coaching and infrastructure and weapons. Coaching and weapons. And that the thing is about Atlanta is they do check some boxes of, okay, well, you'd get Pitts, who might be good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Looks good sometimes, mm-hmm. but he's one of the greatest fantasy busts of all time.
Yeah.
Pitts, and you get Drake London, who does look good automatically, and Calvin Ridley Jr. coming back. Don't forget the gambler. He's back.
Isn't he on the Jaguars?
I forgot about that.
Yeah, he just hasn't been playing. Yeah.
Jags.
Imagine if they had him right now.
I forgot about the Jags being all sneaky like that. That was a good move.
Well, he hasn't played in so long. You said it, and I'm like, wait, he got traded.
Anyway, I Arthur Smith.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of a good pairing. That's someone
I would not want to see it at all.
Well, just you saw how good the red zone offense with the Titans was with him.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a pretty good one, Pete. It's definitely better than him going to the Saints, Joe. Sorry.
Okay, I knew that was coming.
Nah, it's crap.
I don't want that.
Although him and Kamara and him and Olave,
he would have some weapons and some upper management, but I do have my doubts about.
No, well, that's the thing is if Sean Payton comes back, cool. But if it's Dennis Allen, no thanks.
Then I would agree with you.
To be honest, like maybe one more, if you don't mind, JD. Like
we gotta go.
The Cowboys disappoint this playoff, Jerry Jones. Go and get him. It would just be incredible.
No, but they can't get... They're not going to move off Dak. It was actually hilarious. You guys see the J.J. Watt retirement video?
Yeah.
It was hilarious. They were like, here's Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning. And then Dak Prescott showed up. He was like, you're great. And I thought, oh, we're going to see like 100 guys now, right? Like this video. And then it went
NFL
right to
players.
J.J.'s family. And I went, what?
Yeah.
What just happened?
Why?
J.J. Watt is... And Dak?
It was like all-time legends and then Dak.
But like... I was trying to think about it. He was in Houston and he was in Dallas. Like they were in the same state, I guess, for a while. But what is the connection here? They were never in the same division.
No.
It was very weird to see Dak in that video. Whoever works for Dak's PR team, good job. Because that was a good job getting him in there. And Cowboys fans went, he belongs.
Yeah.
He belongs, the guy who throws more interceptions than touchdowns and who stinks and who is absolutely not going to ever win a Super Bowl in his career unless it's by like Joe Flacco luck circumstances. Anyway, let's take a break. Let's come back quick. Boy, Lamar.
Yeah.
Say it ain't so.
Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Whew. Still reeling. We started today's show. Was kind of hanging out going like, isn't it crazy how you guys are younger than me?
I used to have a lip ring.
Isn't it wild? Yeah. And then all of a sudden Jason Lacafora comes out of here. He's like, Baltimore is on fire. Yeah. It's over. I was like, holy smokes. Yeah. That's all I'm going to be thinking about watching that Ravens game. By the way, like we're going to do Time for Action. And we're going to preview these games. We're going to do a little long form in the 10 o'clock hour.
Nice.
Yeah, I actually kind of liked Baltimore this weekend in terms of the spread. I just thought that there was a path with their defense. You look at some of their numbers, it's been pretty baller. It is contextualized with their opponents and what their opponents have been playing for and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But the defense is good. Like, Baltimore's defense is legit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't think... God, now all I can think of is like
the
they gave Roquan.
They
no, but I was like the crazy thing is giving Roquan that money at this point in time is like we get it. I'm not cheap. I gave an off-ball linebacker more money than any other off-ball linebacker's ever made.
Yeah, as soon as I saw that deal, I was like, oh, this is going to affect another domino.
No, but I never thought about it that way. Like, anyway, I've always wondered how Lamar felt about the lack of prioritization of receivers. And again, I know that they spent a first on Hollywood. They spent a first on. Hollywood was the first. Yeah, he was the first. And then they spent the first on Bateman. But yeah, come on, man. Working rookie wide receivers in is usually not the easiest thing.
Yeah.
Rookie running back, sure. Rookie wide receiver, nah. Plus, you need certain guys with them. They designed the offense around them early, and then they started to get away from it. Anyway, we'll preview those picks later. But yeah, still can't get over that. By the way, I hate new Twitter. It just annoys me.
Yeah, I know.
On your phone,
trips
sucks
me
so bad.
I don't know what's going on.
Why? Yeah. I've been pretty lax on Elon. I've been like, yeah, all right.
This isn't the first time we've talked about Twitter on the show.
Well, no, it was just a lot of people go, Elon lost so much money. I went, yeah, he's still got so much more than you and everyone you know combined will ever have. So what about it? He leaked the Twitter files that everybody just ignored, even though it's pretty a lot of fascinating stuff. Matt Taibbi has threads all the time. You ask people about it, they're like, I had no idea. And then they have the stupid response where they just go, I assumed all of that already. You go, thanks. Thanks, Brainiac. That's why I always have deep conversations with you. I was assuming that was the case with Twitter. Yeah, that's the take you get from the bozos who don't read. Yeah, I'm just like, I'm not like a pro Elon guy. I think he's kind of losing it a little bit.
Not, JD's well, not
notice,
a big Elon
JD,
guy.
I know you're not on TikTok, right?
Yeah.
But now the Twitter has kind of like a TikTok feel where there's the for you and then the following.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Get rid of the, Let me see my latest tweets.
Yeah. Yeah,
the Twitter was supposed to be like, hey, what's happening right now?
Right now. Yeah.
And now it's called, I turn it on, it's tweets from 24 hours ago.
Yeah,
of an account that I follow, just because
there is a way that you can
set
your timeline to only the latest tweets and not the most popular tweets.
That's how it is when it's still on your desktop, which I still use because I'm flying around. Okay. They still do that.
True.
But on your phone, it's now the for you or what the other thing. And
the following page, you can set it to the latest.
He doesn't know how to do that.
On what?
On Twitter. You can set it to the latest tweets instead of the top tweets.
Yeah, I know you can. I've done it. You can do it on the desktop. I'm saying when you open up the app, Joe, now on new Twitter,
you can set it for you following.
And the default usually goes to for you. But either way, even you have one, it just,
oh,
I
the
hate
default's
it.
For you.
Yes.
Oh, that's
don't talk to me like I'm old about things I know,
Joe. I accept this from you guys,
this type of behavior, that type of tone when I'm in the wrong. But I know how to use Twitter.
No, I'm confusing JD, Joe. You're confusing JD.
Honestly, no, that's enough out of you. No,
kills
Mike. Exactly. You did misunderstand. Time out for you. Anyway, quick break. Let's come back. Let's talk to Stewie about him being honored in Kingston tonight, him and his brother. Cool stuff. You picked this song for our guest, Austin, because he thinks Stewie's getting into one?
Yeah, actually, that's exactly why I picked it.
Yeah, so I thought. Anthony Stewart, NHL on Sportsnet. Getting honored tonight, you and your bro. Congrats, man. This is awesome.
Yes, I'm doing well. I'm getting ready. Did a lot of shopping yesterday.
What'd you buy?
Old Navy. Oh. I went to Old Navy, got some pants, got some socks.
Buddy.
I only wear, Old Navy. That's honestly undercover. Undercover. I'm the only guy with Old Navy pants and a Louis Vuitton hat, so it's a little figure.
I don't hate it. Listen, a frugal, smart shopper, I'll always support that. But you get styled professionally by Sportsnet. Like, Amy Mack and Deb are going to be devastated if you show up tonight in gear that they did not pick out for you.
No, I can't outdo my brother. My brother went to like Moore's because, again, he hasn't been in the suit like friggin' 4 years since he retired. He's living in the woods in northern Minnesota looking like Paul Bunyan. So I can't come in there now, you know, with a 5-piece suit on and he's got his Moore's suit on.
He didn't know. That's actually tough, man. You got to be dressed properly, but you don't want to be so over the top that people go, look at you, Hollywood. Like, you think this is, you know, it's a fine.
That was my salary when I first started TV. I said, hey, I don't care about payment. I just need new suits because my old suits don't fit me anymore.
Hey, you know, remember how you used to have an agent? You should still do that because that's not, they do that anyway. You're just an immediate sucker. Hey, the thing that everyone gets anyway, that's all I need. That's fine. I'll just show up here. Yeah, no sweat. I'll take care of this. Yeah, good thing. Good thing that you had people looking after your money for a little while and that it wasn't just you that was negotiating deals. So yeah, for those that don't know, you and your brother, a couple former captains of the Kingston Frontenacs, are being honored Saturday, so tomorrow. Weird. When are you going down? Today? Tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm going down in a couple hours.
Yeah, okay,
so we got, I think, like 14 hotel rooms booked, so
that's
the
awesome.
Scarborough party is hitting the road.
No, that's sweet, man. So, yeah, you and your brother, Chris, I guess let's just start with that. What does it mean that you guys get to share this bond? Like, you're obviously brothers, but to be, two former captains of that organization and get to share this honor this weekend, man, it's incredible.
It's definitely an amazing experience. I don't think it's really hit me until the, you know, I actually see the banners actually go up. But you know, I think a lot of people don't understand just sort of the journey that my brother made to, you know, even making it to the OHL. You know, I was in Kingston for my first 2-3 years, and you know, he was just a guy from Scarborough that used to come up on the weekend and watch his brother. Like, he was not playing hockey. Like, his OHL draft year, he was not playing hockey. He was a football player playing tight end for West Hill. And so just him coming to the arena, you know, every single weekend, I think it just gave him the itch. And he's on the ice, and he's seen some of these guys. Like, I think I could do this. So, you know, I said, hey, you know what? Let's have a great summer in the gym. And, you know what? I'll do what I can to try to get you a tryout. So, you know, he was, you know, in football shape, 265 pounds, and we'd go for a run, and he couldn't keep up, so he rode the bike. And then a couple weeks later, he's going his rollerblades. And then after about a month, he's keeping up with the run, and by the end of the summer, you know, he was passing me. So I was like, okay, this kid is serious. So he actually, you know, I went into the office and said, hey, can we get a walk-on tryout for my brother? And, you know, Larry Mavity said, well, if he's no good, I'm getting rid of him, and I'm getting rid of you, so you better be good. So I said, don't worry, he's going to be good. And you know, he ended up having a great training camp, and the rest was history. He went from being like a, you know, a fighter for the first half of the season to finishing with 18 goals. So it was an amazing experience. You know, my last year in junior, being his, you know, being a mentor to him, picking him up, he'd be like, hey, you know, I'm having a grilled cheese sandwich for dinner. Can we go get some pizza? Because I had like 1,000 pizza coupons because I was signed to an NHL contract. So they're like, we're not giving you any money. I'm like, well, you got to give me something. They're like, okay, we'll pay you pizza coupon. So so we had a lot of pizza bonding moments, which is good. But, you know, for him to go undrafted into the OHL, to be captain 2 years later, to going on, you know, being a first-round NHL draft pick and playing almost 700 games, you know, everyone talks about, you know, my struggle. For him to do that, it's twice as hard. So I'm really, really proud. That's my best accomplishment, giving him an opportunity to make the best of his career.
Yeah, that is. Like, and it's always easier to talk about your siblings than it is to talk about yourself. Yeah. And yeah, it's the truth. But yeah, your brother was 265 in high school?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
265?
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a legend too. He was one of the fastest guys. And again, we never really tell the story on who it was, but we had an Olympian come out to our training session, and Matt Nichol, to show us how to do the 20 meter dash. Mm-hmm. And let's just say over 20 meters, my brother was faster than this former Olympian.
Yeah. 20 meters is like, that's terrifying. High school, if a kid, high school kid is chasing me down, that's 265 in 20 meters. Honestly, I think I would die of fear before he even reached me. Like, the only thing faster would be my heart going out, like, than his foot speed at that time. Your brother's accomplishment is insane, to know that he wasn't playing hockey and that his first year in the OHL, he scored 18 goals. And hey, and this is a tough one for you because, you know, you were a stud, but yeah, he had 37 and 36 were his highest goal scoring years. Here's 35. Ouch.
Well, I was on 3 years of cruise control. So that,
yeah,
that
okay. I'm just saying that, you know, year two for him of playing hockey, he scored more goals than you ever scored in junior. It's tough. Look for you.
I will tell you this. I don't think I had an NHL draft picked on my line the 4 years.
Oh, that's that's the excuse. Okay. All right. That's fair. I'm just saying.
Tertiary scoring.
Yeah.
I was the
Calder McDavid at
Leon Draisaitl.
Yeah, okay. That's fair. Hey, but that, so you guys obviously, like, you only played the 1 year together. It is funny to think about that, by the way, that the GM was lying to you when he's like, if he doesn't work out, get rid of you too. You're like, yeah, okay. I'm over a point a game. I'm our team's best player by far. That's not going to happen. But yeah, that first year where he came in there, and yeah, he was obviously like raw. The experience would have been new. Like, there would have been just so much of just even navigating a dressing room. And this is you at like your peak. So obviously you would have, and I know you did carry obviously a lot of like clout in that dressing room, all those different things. But yeah, what was that like kind of just navigating your relationship as brothers through a period of time like that where, yeah, you're NHL bound. You've just kind of got your whole life ahead of you, but now you're also looking after your brother. Like, yeah, what is that like?
Well, I think my whole, you know, career growing up, you know, it taught me how to be a leader, right? I always had to bring my little brother with me. So it was no different than you doing in the OHL. I had to take care of him. But again, at the same time, I knew I was leaving the year after. I couldn't coddle him. I had to get him ready for, you know, that OHL and pro experience. So, you know, there's days where, you know, we didn't feel like working out, or we didn't feel like, you know, having a good practice. So, you know, I had to go above and beyond to be like, hey, buddy, like, we got to get this together here. You're here, but I'm going to be gone next year, so you better get your act together, or it's going to be a tough road for you. So just showing him the ropes and what it was, and, you know, he thought he was going to get maybe some special treatment, but I'm like, hey, you're a rookie. You still got to pack the bus. You know, you still got to go buy magazines and, you know, tobacco-free chewing tobacco for the veterans, of course, and do all those little stuff just to get ready and to be prepared for the next level. So it was amazing just being with him on the buses and, you know, at the rink. And, you know, we actually, you know, only played one shift together, and I think I yelled at him for, you know, not passing me the puck. And so we were never allowed to be on the ice together. But he really got his opportunity when I went away to World Juniors. He was in and out of the lineup. But once I went away to World Juniors for a month, they just slotted him into my space, my spot, and the rest was history.
Yeah. I just, for me, and this is probably just me, but I do think this is the case when you're the older brother. Like, I have a younger brother, too. I'm really close with him. But when you are the older brother and you're kind of bringing them along with something, there is that weird dynamic just a little bit. It just can be harder at times where you're saying, hey, you need to be able to do something. And then you become, like, their friend, but also an authority figure. And so I'm sure you guys also had blow-ups.
Yeah. Yeah, we terminated his room one time, and I think we were in Sudbury, and he got very upset, and I think he beat up one of the veteran players.
I was going to say, I wouldn't do that to your brother. That was insane.
So we had to take out some vigilante justice there, and let's just say that he was, it's my girlfriend, I'm now my wife, he was calling her, like, he's at the train station, I'm coming home. It's like, bro, you're in the middle of Sudbury, there's no train coming for 24 hours or 18 hours. Get to the hotel.
Oh, man, there's nothing better than a younger sibling pouting. You know, like, that yeah.
Get back to the hotel. Here's a pizza. Go to bed. We got a game tomorrow.
Here's a coupon. It's good everywhere. The coupons. I wonder if the coupons are still good. Like, you go on Princess Street tonight, and the coupons, if you still have one, that you can maybe bust out of your Lifetime Achievement Award at that pizza on Princess Street.
I remember being in the office, and you know how they're, like, counting cash, and they just put them on the table. I'm like, oh, I think you're short for your four. Like, get out of here.
For your four you coupons. Yeah, I need a couple of more. Man, how much did they hate your guts? You coming in there all
I didn't
the
care.
Time?
No. Kingston had, I think, three pizza, so I spread the wealth. I'd be, you know, sometimes I would get it twice a day, so I'd make sure I'd go to the one downtown on Princess Street, then I'd go to the other one on Gardner. So I spread the wealth, because I didn't want to be the guy just going to the same pizza, putting them out of business, because I would go, like, I would go on the way to the game. So I'd go on the way to the game, eat a slice of pizza, have it after the game. But I'm telling you, I got paid with, like, 30 coupons. I got paid 30 coupons because I'm like, that's the equivalent of, you know, $150 in gas money, and they didn't want to pay me that. So I'm like, well, you owe me something here. Like, take these coupons and get out of my
office.
Dude,
you're a horror. Honestly, the thing that we've learned today, because we already knew, like, you were a good junior player, you know, great one, you get an honor, you're captain. We knew that you had a really good relationship with your brother, and that you know, you helped mentor him get to the NHL. Like, we already knew these things. What we have learned today on this show is that you are among the world's worst negotiators. Like, it's just, you get paid in contra. Like, that's what you get.
I was going to say, is this thing on? Are we on in the Rogers Building?
Yeah, this is just a, like, people see, remember, you know that Simpsons episode with the carnies, and they're like, you got to look for the pigeons, and they just, Homer's walking around with, and he's got all the money out. That's you. Like, every vendor in Kingston right now is so excited that you're coming back into town and just splash around the cash. Like, I bet you just said it. You got 14 hotel rooms. You're like, yeah, but we only needed seven. They were just like, oh, you know, it's you buy seven and the next seven are 50% off. And he went, sold.
What a good deal. What an amazing deal.
Yeah, exactly. We have to do it. Do you have anything, like, is there anything that you're really looking forward to this weekend? Like, something in particular? Because, yeah, man, it's going to be so many people that are there for you, support. You're going to get to have all these, you know, it's going to be a huge memory lane weekend for you. A ton of people that supported you. I'm sure it'll be emotional. There, obviously, the drinks will be flowing. Be a bit of a late night. Probably some pizza. But yeah, what are you most looking forward to?
Well, I think it's just seeing the fans, and there's a lot of people that are still with the organization. Yeah. You know, since I was there, you know, my wife actually had a phone call with Larry Mavity's wife, who's still, you know, working for the organization. She was telling stories about me, you know, after the first day of training camp, needing new pair of skates. So getting to see her again, my billets, on some of the fans. So Kingston's a hardworking blue-collar city, and that's the one thing I always regret. I'm like, I wish we won a little bit more games, but just going back there, seeing the fans, seeing the new building, and even watching the games, just taking it all in. For me, I don't really appreciate things until I'm actually in the moment, so I'm just looking forward to just sitting down, relaxing, and enjoying the moment with friends and family. I think it's the first time we've been together as a family, I think, probably since pre-pandemic. My brother's been up in the woods for the last 3 years, so it's good to get out, you know, go to the restaurants, have some fun, a couple of root beers, and it's going to be a great experience for sure.
Well, yeah, it is kind of funny because you obviously are a guy that is pretty comfortable in the limelight. Like, yeah, and I don't mean like you're always trying to get attention, but yeah, you do national television now, like routinely. You're very involved in, a lot of different community projects, your own businesses that you're like the head of. So something like this is probably not too foreign to you. Your brother, like, this is going to be an issue. Like, you had to guide him through that first year in Kingston. I feel like you're going to have to guide him through this weekend where he's like getting attention and people are giving him a lot of praise.
Yeah, he's like, can you write my speech? And I'm like, yeah. No.
Did he actually ask you?
He's like, what are you going to say? I'm like, it's my speech. I'm not telling you. I'm kidding.
Oh, that's so good. You got to make him go second now.
Just like my brother said. I came up with the worst. Like, I was in my brother's wedding, but I wasn't the best man. But my speech, what I'm telling you, was about 12 seconds. I was like, hey, welcome to the family. You know, the dogs say woof woof, and that was it. That was my wedding speech.
You put a lot of effort in. I'm excited for you, man. I think that this is awesome. Obviously, huge congratulations. I'm going to ask you one Leafs question before you go.
Okay, here we go.
What did you think last night of just their response when there was some physical play? Because, like, it's a back-to-back, it's a scheduled loss, but I got into it with McKee on Leafs Talk. I was pretty pissed off. I thought Holmberg went in the boards really hard, and, like, I didn't love that nobody came to check on him. Nobody grabbed the body. Bunting gets eviscerated in front of the net. And McKee's point was pretty simple, which is, hey, this is who the Leafs are, and so why would you ever expect it to change? But I honestly think that in a season like this one, you should expect it to change, that there should be a little bit more intensity from your group. Like, I remember specifically earlier this season, there was a moment with Morgan Riley where he, you know, got into a fight after a hard hit. And, like, this is kind of the way the NHL is now. Even if you think that Holmberg tripped or that the play wasn't dirty, it's a scary moment. Yeah, am I off on this one? Like, is this a case of, hey, maybe this is true sometimes, but you're projecting it onto this? Like, what did you think of, like, that moment, that response? And, yeah, Bunting, like, just the game in general, the way that they stood up to Detroit.
Well, I think it's almost worse to do nothing than to try to fake it, right? And again, we played against some teams that pretended to be tough, and then, you know, they end up getting beat up even worse. But I think the way that this team is built and the direction that they're going, like I said, it's the power play is their toughness mantra that they had before. So, you know, just going back to, you know, maybe people are alluding to, well, this is Wayne Simmons' job. You know, I go back to, you know, the Avengers where, you know, you see Hulk come in at the beginning of the movie against Thanos and get his butt kicked because, you know, he's been sitting on the, you know, the bench for how many days. So I think for Simmons, you know, you got to find a way to get him in there, you know, sporadically and sort of throw him a bone to say, hey, you know what, I have this motivation to go above and beyond to play for this team, right? So again, he's been a good pro behind the scenes as well too, but if this is a guy that you want to do that job, it's tough. It's tough to come out of the press box after 15, 20 games. It takes you how many games just to get your legs underneath you. So now to go to battle and be in the corners, it's very, very taxing on the body. But I think now it's got to be by committee. You guys got guys like Jamie Benn on the back end. You got some, you see Bunting mixing it up. So I think that's an element that you have to add as the season goes along. But it's very, very tough. You know, I remember being out there against some guys, and I'm like, I'm not going to finish my check as hard. You know what? I'm going to take the scenic route to the scrum. Because the intimidation factor is a big, big part, especially, you know, going into the playoffs. So for me, it's not a skill, it's a will. So if this team doesn't have it, maybe that's something you look to add, you know, maybe at the deadline too. So if Simmons isn't your guy, but again, we know what the strength of this team is when the big four is going, they're clicking, the power play is going. It's a very, very difficult team to beat. So again, there's ups and downs in the season. You know, they win two, lost two. That's part of every day in the NHL. So I think the fans, it's almost like every single game they have $1,000 betting on it, and that's how they sort of react. When they won, when they win, oh yes, I win $1,000. When they lose, oh my God, these guys, they cost me my money. So it's, again, you just got to be even keel in an 82-game season. So I think the team is different than last year.
Yeah.
You're seeing that more consistently. You're seeing the consistency. So, but the physical element, that is going to be the game plan for some of these other teams now. You're going to be playing the Tampas, and you're going to be playing Boston. And, you know, Boston's got some guys, you know, Trent Frederick, he can not just ruin your night, he can ruin your series. So you need to have an answer for that, because that, whether or not it's a big bar or a sidebar, it's still going to have an effect on the series. So you have to find a way to respond or have a neutralizing factor for that.
See, I think that they've been good in terms of responding to teams trying to be physical with them. Like, it hasn't rattled them like the way that it has in years past. They've been able to maintain their game. Like, they can play that style, I believe. And we'll see come playoff time how that wears them down. Of course, it's just like, it's always different. We learn this every single year. But I just think it's always important to stick up for your people. And that's just something I believe in every single walk of life, is if you see somebody that is on your team, whether that's, you know, a friend, whether that's, you know, a family member, whatever, a teammate, a colleague, and they're down, you help them up and you make sure they're okay. And yeah, you stick up for them. And I hated how last night, how hard Holmberg went into the boards and no one came over. Like, and some people said Giordano skated over eventually, but it's like, yeah, okay, great. The one guy who I can rely on doing that did the thing. Like, the conscience of the team, the old man of the team has to be the guy that does it again. Like, he's the one that levels the spear during the Matthews game. Like, if it's not him, then who? And at some point, I think that that's going to matter for them. Like, having that little bit of character, it's going to matter as a group when their backs are against the wall and they have to fight for something. Yeah, that they know everybody has each other's backs and they're all bought into the same thing. So I don't think it's necessarily like they needed a big fake fight from someone, or that Simmons had to drop the gloves. But yeah, just show you care. Just show you care a little bit. That'd be great. Buddy, like I said, I'm so excited for you. You deserve this, obviously. I think it's spectacular that you and your brother are being on the same night. I can't wait to see the video get popped up. And yeah, I think that pray for those other people that have hotels and don't know where they're like, I have a business trip in Kingston this weekend. Should be quiet. It's January 14th. Like, what could be going on? I was like, oh, man.
Why is Pizza Pizza keep coming every 10
minutes? No, Pizza Pizza is not coming. If anything, they're going to be like, listen, we've already honored you enough. We've already done our part. We fed you all the way through this. Congrats, man. It's awesome for you.
All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Thank you for the time.
See you, dude. Anthony Stewart, NHL and Sportsnet, former Kingston Frontenacs captain. And again, he'll be honored on Saturday by Kingston, which I think is awesome. With that, it's time for action, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings app to get in the action. Must be 19 plus, must be in Ontario. Please play responsibly. I'm going to do this one quick so that we can take a quick break. I've already done my stuff in terms of bets for Saturday. Mm-hmm. I told you, I like the Chargers.
Yep.
Even though I keep going a little back and forth on this. It's weird with the Chargers thing for me, because I'm hoping that, you know, Blake's my guy. Yep. I don't know any Chargers fans. Actually, I do know one. His name's Kurt.
Well.
He's a good guy. But
you hear about Mike Williams?
What's the latest?
He's got a back injury.
Yeah,
he's questionable,
bruised
to play,
back.
But he's traveling with the team.
Yeah, I think he'll play. That's just my guess.
Yeah.
That being said, first jump ball, you know where my helmet's going, like right into your spine. I just think that the Chargers defense is built well for this game. That, like, they've got a really good pass defense. I would say that actually, if you're looking at a prop that could be interesting, is Etienne. Let me actually pull that up quickly. Let me just see here. What's Etienne's rush? Etienne's rush. Good radio right now.
Over 75 and a half yards.
That's too much.
It's a bit much, yeah.
But I was going to say that the Chargers do get gashed on the ground. They give up a lot of yards per carry. But this is a game where the Chargers, I've said this before, but if you're the head coach of this organization, you have been basically crushed in the media for the last 6 days about how you were going to play your starters and it didn't work out. Mm-hmm. You have been crushed at times throughout this regular season about your use of analytics and situational football and blah, 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 blah. Your own wide receiver, like basically the voice of your team, Keenan Allen, the leader of your team, called you out publicly on Twitter. Mm-hmm. This is truly a legacy game for you. You blow this game to the Jags a year after. What'd they win with Urban Meyer? Two games? Yeah.
Two games, I believe so.
Yeah, I think they won two games. You lose to this team right now. I think that you might be done, and I think that Sean Payton could replace you. I don't think Sean Payton will, by the way. As attractive as the Herbert thing is, I actually think Payton is the kind of guy that he's got a little bit of that Belichick, a little bit of that Pete Carroll, where he's like, I don't need to have the star quarterback that takes all the shine. I'd rather have the ownership for me to have more control, be in a market that matters. Like, I'm not saying it doesn't matter, like that he doesn't think, oh, that'd be cool to coach Herbert. I just don't think it's like some people almost put it that way of, oh, a coach, why wouldn't he want to go to Herbert and then he can win? Yeah, right. Maybe.
True.
Maybe, but I don't know how much of it is that. These guys have strong beliefs in the way that they view the game and that they can get it done.
Yeah.
But either way, that you got to imagine that the Chargers are in on it or thinking about removing him if it doesn't work out. Still feels like only McCarthy is the guy that if he loses this weekend and Sean Payton's available, that, you know, Jerry Jones will move heaven and earth and be like, yeah, you get whatever you want, every resource you want.
If they lose this weekend? Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Again, though, it is a strange one because Jerry is such a powerful, like,
loyal guy, too.
Well, no, but he has so much input on the team that I do also wonder how a guy like Sean Payton would respond to him.
That's true.
Right? Like, the reason why Belichick and Kraft work so well is that Kraft just empowers Belichick with whatever he wants. Belichick says, we want this new fancy technology. Kraft signs the check.
Yeah.
Right? He says, we're going to trade a star player. We're going to walk away from Tom Brady, your son, basically, Robert Kraft. And he goes, yep, I trust you. You got a lot of control. You got a lot of power in the organization. It's why there's kind of some rumblings about what the future of the Patriots is right now, just because maybe Kraft is a little done with that or getting closer to being done with that or losing his patience when they're not racking up Super Bowl wins.
It's the same thing with Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton in New Orleans.
So I don't think it's as binary. Anyway, my only point here is that I still think that he's the head coach. Staley's the head coach next year of the Chargers. But I could see a situation where they lose this game and the Chargers decide, you know what, we're going to go in a different direction and we don't want to, we're going to go with more offensive guy. But either way, I just think that their defense is primed well to beat the Chargers to beat the Jaguars. I was pretty unimpressed with the way Trevor Lawrence played in that big game last week.
Yeah, very disappointing effort.
And I think that there'll be good matchups defensively for LA and that this is going to be a big game for Eckler, who has just been a beast in the red zone this year. Yeah. So I like laying the points. Feels a little chalky against the Jags. But I'm doing that in this Saturday. I've made my point clear. I don't bet on the Seahawks Niners, but I think it's going to be a huge Christian McCaffrey game. It's my number one prop of the weekend is McCaffrey rushing, McCaffrey receiving, however you want to do it. They're going to use him to make life easy on Brock Purdy.
George Kittle too.
Yeah.
George Kittle.
Yes, but
I'm big on him.
Sure. I know.
One of Purdy's favorite targets too.
Anyway, I just think that CMC is going to have a massive game. What are your guys like? We'll finish the Saturday thought because you weren't here, Pete. Like, what do you have for Saturday? Is there anything?
Well, I like your McCaffrey prop. He's projected to be, or is the betting favorite to lead the playoffs in rushing right now.
The whole playoffs?
Yeah, the whole
playoffs. Yeah, but that makes sense because people think the Niners, like, that's a bet where you're projecting forward and you're going, okay, well, if they beat the Seahawks, then what are they next week potentially against the Vikings or Giants? Like, that's a, based more on what the depth is going to do.
Josh Allen's number two. I thought that was interesting. Quarterback. But
for rushing yards?
Yeah, rushing yards.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Jacksonville Bills. Chargers. I like the Jags. Yeah, I like the Jags.
Okay, Peter make Zen, the case.
Better coach. Brandon Staley, I think that was
better
a
coach.
Big,
all right.
Big L starting as starters. And we talked about it. I don't know if you remember the show before that game, and we thought it would be a mistake, and it ended up being a mistake and might have cost him Herbert's favorite target. So if Mike Williams can't play, that
it's
is
huge.
Not good news
it is
for
big.
Chargers.
It is big.
And even though the Chargers are the SM Bet squad ride this season, our Super
Bowl because Cabby is boys with Eckler.
Yeah, yeah, and Eckler.
You guys have to buy in.
Here, you know, like
you have to get in. Cabby's forceful with you guys, where it's like you have to like Rodgers and you have to like Eckler.
Those are two good players.
And if you, I think Jason Lacanfora just said what I've been saying about Rodgers for quite some time. Cabby got mad at me last year on my show about how I was disrespectful to Rodgers in a fun way.
Well, Jason also said he's got one more bite of the apple left in him, you know, so we'll see what happens.
One more bite of the apple in terms of like he gets one more chance to play football. He's under contract for a year. I don't think it's one more bite at the championship apple.
Fair enough.
Boffo? Austin, Saturday games, or either of your bets on Saturday?
Honestly, just the one thing I want to say is I'm just keeping an eye on these Josh Palmer props just for all of the reasons you're saying about Mike Williams. I think even if Mike Williams plays, I think he's going to be banged up.
Our guy Josh?
Exactly. Show bump, you know?
Wouldn't go to a quiet room, though.
He's proved he can be that wide receiver too, alongside Keenan Allen when Mike Williams.
What's his number right now?
It's not up, which leads me to believe they're keeping an eye on that. So
they probably don't know what to do with it.
Austin, you got a Saturday game pick?
Josh Palmer, not my guy, JD. I want that noted. Chargers ranked 28th in rushing defense this year.
Yeah, they're horrific.
I like your Etienne bet, and I know it's a higher number, around 75. I think the Clemson alum gets it done. I think the Jaguars can win this game, and if it does happen, it'll be on the legs of Travis Etienne.
I just don't trust Etienne. I had him in fantasy this year. He cooked me at the beginning of the year where he was a straight bum. He didn't do anything all season long.
It was Robinson for the first couple
of
weeks.
Then he was a hero down the stretch, JD.
No, but it wasn't. But that's the thing. He had games where all of a sudden he was a little nicked up and he just didn't play, and he's kind of
a fumble guy.
And I don't trust him, all right? It's a keeper league. He's not even in consideration to be kept for me. He's off the team. He's cut. He's immediately cut. There's no chance. I have Isaiah Pacheco. He's 100% getting kept.
That makes sense.
I don't know, but I also have Justin Herbert. I might just keep him as a nice having.
Herbert and Pacheco?
Yeah, Herbert and Pacheco. Might be that. There's no chance that I'm keeping him.
Is he the Chiefs among the top in the league for teams that start rookies and they're like first place?
Yeah. All right. So let's take a break. That was Time for Action, brought to you by DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings app to get in the action. Must be 19 plus, must be in Ontario. Please play responsibly. Let's break down the Sunday games next.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, Friday vibes. It's Time for Action, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings app to get in the action. Must be 19 plus. Must be in Ontario. Please play responsibly. Thanks, DraftKings. Okay, so let's hit the Sunday games. Because you need a lot of Saturday stretch. You know, and you can't do Cowboys Bucks.
Nope.
All right?
Nope. Can't do Cowboys Bucks.
Why not?
Because it's a Monday night game, Pete. You bozo.
I'm not here on Mondays, though.
Yeah, and guess what?
That's your fault.
I am.
I do boo-hoo-hoo. And guess what? Nobody notices.
Oh, that makes me sad.
We have Simon coming in. Know,
we do have Simon. Yeah. Dominated.
Simon, the dog. The dogless.
Dogless, yeah. Snoop Dogless.
Shout out Simon.
Yeah, no, Pete. Poor Pete. It's like, if you want to give us a pick, tweet it. What's your Twitter?
Pete the Leafs fan.
Oh, we got to change that.
Yeah, no, I asked you about it when I first started. I was like, should I rebrand that?
Yeah.
Why don't you just do Peace and Love Sports?
It's too long.
What?
So just put...
Not too many characters, you know?
Oh, really?
No, you can't do P&L Sports.
Yeah, and then I was going to spell love like L-U-V and stuff. No. And I was like, no,
it doesn't have the same. P-C-E-L-U-V Sports.
If you spell love L-U-V, moon jail. Immediately. That's a moon jail
thing. That could be Saturn jail. That's a guy who'd be Saturn jail.
I don't know why you try to up my jail. It's like, there's no need for this, Joe. Moon jail for you. Like, that might be Saturn. I'm trying to make my own thing over here. No, quiet. God. Anyway, let's do some Sunday games. Giants, Vikes. Well, no, let's start with Bills.
We're starting with the Bills?
Yeah.
The Bills and Dolphins.
Let's start with the Bills and Dolphins.
1 p.m.
Is it going to be Skyler? It's Skyler. Okay, so...
Last time the Dolphins were in the playoffs, Ryan Tannehill was injured,
and
Matt Moore had to start for them.
Yeah.
And
you
now,
don't remember this?
I don't remember this, no.
Yeah, no. Boffo, you remember this. What happened in that game? And Austin Mackey, the realest sports fan on the show, by the way. No question about it, Mackey. do you guys remember what that game's famous for? Flip on the mics. No, don't Google it.
I can't remember.
Mackey, come on.
No, I can't either. I know he started the game for the Dolphins.
Matt Moore got eviscerated. He got smoked with one of the biggest hits I've ever seen. He stayed in the game. Google the Matt Moore hit. It is like, yeah. There's a reason why Tua's not playing this weekend, and it's because he could potentially get hit by Matt Moore. Anyway, Matt Moore got crushed in that game. I can't remember.
My boy, Bud Dupree. I remember. Yeah.
Oh, now you remember. See, that's... Bud Dupree crushed him.
Deserved that contract just for that hit.
Oh, my God. Did he crush him? Anyway, you're right. Skylar Thompson, this could not be. The spread is 13.5. Mm-hmm. What a crime that the Dolphins won this game against the Jets last week. And that we can't watch Kenny Pickett, who would have lost as well. That Steelers team would have lost. But it would have been fun watching Watt and that front seven try to get after Josh Allen and actually feel as though there's a test here. Like, okay, this is the thing. Dolphins are beat up. Dolphins are down to Skylar Thompson, who yep. I don't think is going to be able to score. Like, Raheem Mostert has a broken thumb. Like, I don't know how he's supposed to tout the rock with a broken thumb. Tyreek didn't look healthy at the end of the season. He looks like he's dealing with, like, a hamstring or something.
Jalen
like
Waddle's been dealing with some stuff earlier this season, too. Like, it's...
to me, the minus 800 is not worth putting into a teaser. Like, you can, because I don't think that there's any chance in hell the Bills lose this game to the Dolphins. No. Yeah, I think if you're betting this... that you're just going Bills minus 13.5.
The spread's been moving around a little bit. It was kind of moving up and down. It was earlier too. It was 14.5 when Pete and I were sitting down this morning. Now
all,
it's 13.
All I know is how many points do you guys think that the Dolphins are going to be able to score with Skylar Thompson and one thumb Raheem?
Single digits.
Yeah.
Six.
Yeah. Maybe a couple field goals. Like, are they scoring a touchdown?
Maybe
this game?
Nine.
Like, there's always the looming threat of Waddle and Tyreek. Right. Yeah. You miss a tackle. Yeah. You miss an assignment, you whatever. One of those guys is housing it.
Exactly. Yes.
Bills have looked pretty mediocre lately. Like, even that game against the Patriots, the kick returns, everything. But if you look at all the stats, it was a pretty even game. Patriots looked better than them at times, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if it's not for the 29th ranked special teams unit in the NFL, Patriots probably win that game.
Yeah.
I just don't see anything that's making me believe in the Dolphins. I think all their most important players are banged up.
The Dolphins are done.
Anyway, let's move on because this game's not really worth talking about. The game. This is what is brutal about this Sunday, man. This Sunday, I'm so choked. Okay, like, what are we watching here? Like, what is this?
You're right. I don't know. Like, Cowboys and Buccaneers should move to the Sunday night.
Seahawks have not been able to pass pro. On Geno, and like Nick Bosa is going to,
feast.
Yeah, Nick Bosa is going to have a day. Bosa's going to have a day. Poor Geno in a contract year, he should be pulling the Lamar. Like, let's put Drew Lock in here for this game because this might be an ugly one for Geno. He's got to get paid, man.
The Niners
are going to rip him up. It's not going to be good for my boy Geno. Chargers-Jags is, like, pretty interesting, but it's hard to envision either of those teams winning a Super Bowl. This is the thing. This whole weekend stinks. There's nothing good. Cowboys-Bucks, awful. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care if the spread is close. It's a horrible football game. I know we're not talking about it, but Bengals-Ravens, kind of interesting because of the defense.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting watching Joe Burrow, night game. You probably have this sucker shut off at halftime. They go up.
Yeah,
if the Bengals go up two scores, guess what the game is? Over. Any offense to support it. Vikings-Giants, here we are, the highlight of our weekend, everybody. Danny Dimes and Kirk Cousins. This is the game we've all been waiting for. This is wild card, super wild card weekend. Danny Dimes, who I love. By the way, I'm Daboll guy. I'm riding with the Giants. I'm picking the upset. I'm playing the plus 135 mm-hmm. for the Giants to win. Here's two things, though, that I hate. One, everybody and their dog is on the Giants because all these games suck, and so there's only one underdog to pick all weekend.
And everybody's going for it.
And it's the Giants, and you just know, given my track record with the Minnesota Vikings, you could clip this. This is going to be clipped. We're going to play this on Monday. My track record with Vikings, doesn't matter which way I bet them, they screw me. And so congratulations, Vikings fans. Had I picked you, automatic loss. Giants fans celebrating in the streets right now. JD picked the Vikings, the team that has busted more parlays for him than any team in the last decade. This reeks of everybody bets the Giants. It comes down to a field goal, and Caleb Joseph kicks it through the uprights, and the Vikings, who have found a way all season, find a way. I'm still going to be betting the Giants. I just think it's close. They're my number one teaser leg team.
Yep.
I said it yesterday. My teaser is 100% going to be Bucks +7.5 mm-hmm. or +10.5. We'll see what we end up doing it. Plus the Giants +10.5. Yep. And if I put those two teasers together, I just think that that's kind of like a nice can't miss cowards. Mm-hmm. I'll post some more bets on my social, by the way. Like, if you follow at JD Bunkus on Twitter, Instagram, hit me up with those anytime. But
I will say we're joking around about how bad the games are and everything.
They're horrible.
But it's like,
remember last year?
It is the NFL playoffs. You know, so it's like, I just think it's
so we should
take
the
a
upset?
Moment to be excited about this week, because it's like we look forward to this whole year.
Yeah, you know? Where's the upset then, and what is the matchup that you actually care? All I'm saying is I actually like the matchup for the Giants, though. Before, let me finish this thought on this. I like the Giants front seven, and I don't like the Vikings defense.
Oh, it's terrible.
And so
it's
this bad. Is why I kind of like the Giants. The actual practical part of the matter here is not just a rooting interest. I think that Kayvon Thibodeau, who's been breaking out, I think that Dexter Lawrence, I think that the Giants front seven is going to be a real problem for Kirk Cousins. I got this stat. It's actually, do you know, Kirk Cousins was 33rd out of 42 qualified quarterbacks this year against the blitz. Got hit more than any quarterback in the NFL.
Wow.
Yeah. That's an advantageous thing for the Giants. I just think the Giants have this. I went through the checklist. I'm like, who has what better, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I like to think about this.
Right.
I don't think that the Vikings have an awesome, don't get this wrong. They have an awesome home field, but their fans know that this team, like who they are. And if things
fraudulent.
Start to turn, I think it can get pretty sour in that building.
Yeah.
Okay. Vikings fans have had enough of Kirk Cousins. They've had enough of this team. It can get annoying pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
The path for the Vikings is what it's been all year. Hey, does Justin Jefferson just completely ball out and wreck the game and allow for the TJ Hawkinsons of the world and the Adam Thielens of the world to just start to get open underneath because all the, and does he have time and Dalvin Cook starts to run the rock and it's a shootout. They're feeling pretty good about this game. If the Giants defense can get to Kirk Cousins, which I think that they can, and they can muck this game up, I think Dimes and Saquon are going to be able to put up points against this defense.
Yeah. Well,
the
Vikings defense,
it's bad.
They allow almost 400 yards a game.
That's what I'm saying. If I'm looking at things I trust in this ball game, I trust Dable.
Yep.
I trust the Giants front seven, and I trust Justin Jefferson. So that's two things in the trust column for the Giants, one in the trust column for the Vikings. So yeah, I'm going Giants in a teaser, and then I'm going to play them at the +135.
Mm-hmm. I've never been hot. Like, the Vikings this year have just been such a fraudulent team.
Yeah, but this is what scares me. This is what scares me, is that everybody's on the Giants. Like, is there anybody on the show that likes the Vikings?
I like the Vikings.
Yeah, there we go. That's what I'm talking about. That's my guy. Make the case. Awesome, Mackie.
I think that if you look at this matchup, these teams are actually, and you're looking, I'm looking more at the advanced stats. I'm going to get super nerdy on you, JD. The Vikings
are these
the
Austin stats?
No, these are just
stats Austin
from our
stats.
Boy
did Joe give
football,
them to you?
At Football Outsiders, Aaron Schwartz.
You got an account?
I'm his friend. I may or may not have got a login. May or may not have got a comp.
Austin,
no
big
deal.
Dog,
shout out,
right.
Aaron.
He's big dog.
You're my guy.
Yeah.
The Vikings and the Giants are the only two teams with negative DVOAs to make it into the postseason this year. The Giants are worse than the Vikings in DVOA.
Yes.
I think that the Vikings have been fraudulent this year. I think the Giants are more fraudulent.
Okay.
I think the Vikings overcome with the better quarterback play of Kirk Cousins. The blitz stat worries me, what you just said. Giants get pressure with their front four. Still think the Vikings get it done. Still like the Vikings.
Okay, so here's the thing, though. The Vikings, they've been trash all year.
Yeah,
they've been overrated all year. No, that's not true.
No, the Giants for the first 6 weeks were
very good. No, but for the first couple weeks of the season, the Giants were very fraudulent winning games.
Yeah.
Then they got exposed and everyone got off Giants Island. Everyone vacated it.
Yeah.
My Seahawks whooped that ass.
Whooped it.
And everybody got off Giant Island.
Yeah.
And everyone went, And then actually, these last few weeks, Giants been balling. That game against Washington, that's not a fraudulent game.
Yeah.
That's a legit game. That was we got to win it, and they looked awesome. And Heinicke couldn't do a damn thing. And so, no, I don't agree with that assessment. I think that if you look at the DVOA week over week, sure. Overall, the course of the entire season, have the Giants been just as bad? Like, have they looked fraudulent at times? Did they get overrated at times? Absolutely, Austin. But no, the last couple of weeks of season, Giants have never had a moment like, what was it? The Dallas game. How many times did
Packers game too, right?
Yeah, that's
Vikings,
what I'm saying. Yeah, blowouts.
Eagles game as well. They
blowouts.
Got killed.
Blowouts. So, no, I don't think that the Giants have had as bad a moments as the Vikings have. And everyone will point to, do you think the Giants could beat the Bills? Because they beat the Bills. And I'll go, it took, like I said, Justin Jefferson miracles. And if Justin Jefferson throws up the miracle game this weekend, then they'll probably win. But if he doesn't, I don't see it. I don't see the other path.
My only counter to that would be if the NFL didn't hate Daniel Snyder, it would be the Commanders in the postseason fair. Right now instead of yeah. the Giants on that
point.
Monday Night Football
point.
Game. So
I did get screwed on that, Austin.
Still fraudulent. Right.
I want my money, NFL. You owe me money.
But two you very bad raised calls. Great arguments there, JD, and yeah. I am starting to doubt myself.
Yeah, good.
Whoa. Turned him on the show.
Yeah, I love it. All right. Stick to your guns, Mackie.
Ian Rappaport reporting that Evan Neal, yeah. the offensive tackle, he suffered an ankle injury at practice yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Considered minor, but something to note.
All right.
I think the under's the play in this game, too, by the way.
I could not feel more against what you just
really?
Said.
I don't know. Really? I think that the Vikings heart. Defense is going to let up points.
Well, I won't be betting any unders. And first of all, this is like, you guys know me. I'm a chalky over better. But this is actually like my favorite over game.
Yeah.
The only under game that I'm really like, I don't know how you justify betting the over is the Bengals-Ravens game.
I just think if you're leaning Giants, for yeah. them to keep it close, you're going to need to keep the Vikings offense off the field. So I just think they're going to run a lot with Saquon, kill clock, run a lot with Daniel Jones. Like, Daniel Jones is a good running QB.
You can get chunk plays on runs, though, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I like the over in this game. I just think that both these teams can score. And this is kind of my point about why I like the Giants, is I just think they can win in a couple of different ways. I don't hate it. Like, that reason is decent. I just, to me, these are two defenses that can give up chunk plays, and that they're two offenses that I think can click. So weird that the Giants have turned into being held like Richie James, like receivers I still don't really know the names of.
They just kind of pop up every once
and
in a while.
They're good.
Anyway. They've exceeded expectations.
Yeah, no 100%. Question. No question.
I'm not betting on any team that gives up 36 points to the Colts.
Yeah. All right, last game. The former home of Lamar Jackson, the Baltimore Ravens, visiting the Cincinnati Bengals. I said it. This is my only assessment of this game. I kind of think that the under is a bit of the play because I just don't see how Tyler Huntley with shoulder tendonitis is going to score points,
yeah.
especially given the weapons.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only hope for the Ravens in this game is if their awesome defense, which is awesome,
yep.
somehow finds a way to limit Joe Burrow, get to Joe Burrow, and this game just stays ugly the entire time. And it fit like that the Bengals are just sitting there with like, you know, a 7-4, 3-point mm-hmm. lead. And they're just grinding away with it. Maybe Justin Tucker, who hasn't been as good this year, he misses a field goal attempt because he's been kind of a joker this year. I don't know. I just, maybe he comes through with one. Either way, like, this feels a little bit like it could be closer than 9.5. The only problem with me playing the Ravens is that it's just like, if you get down 2 scores, your bet is just over. It's no fun. But I will say that I'm leaning the Ravens defense showing up being tough, and that it takes a little while for the Bengals to get rolling and to get scoring.
I'm so fully out. Like, the Ravens, we have said it a couple times on the show. We said it before the show. Like, the Ravens in the last month have, like, their offense scoring has been putrid. The only team worse than them is the New York Jets. So
yeah.
I don't see how the Ravens score more than 10 points.
Yeah, it's bad when you're getting compared to the Flacco,
the
Mike White with one working rib.
The Ravens
Wilson
have three
offense.
Touchdowns in the last 4 weeks.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty
and
bad.
The Jets have two.
All right, so I'll be tweeting out some picks. I'll put some stuff on my Instagram later. For those of you that listen, thank you. Subscribe, leave a 5-star review if you can. As I always say, it helps me out. And yeah, just have a fantastic weekend watching these terrible football games. Leafs Bruins on Saturday too, though.
Oh, that was a spicy one.
Yeah, sexy.
Really, oh yeah. We're giving them loss number 6.
Hope Austin Matthews plays so I don't look like a bozo. All right, see you Monday.